You can just leave your Bibles open to this passage, and we'll be there in just a moment. I don't know if you remember or not, but after Jesus rose from the dead, he was making appearances to various ones, and there were two men who were on their way back home from Jerusalem. They had been followers of Jesus. They had great expectations. And then suddenly this man that they admired and loved had been taken, had been crucified, and had been buried. And they had lost their hope. The light had gone out. And they were on their way home to Emmaus. And Jesus suddenly appeared there with them, but he kept them from knowing who he was. And they voiced to him their disappointment. And they thought that Jesus would have been the one. And Jesus spoke to them there. And it says that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. I have no doubt that when Jesus spoke to those men that day on the road to Emmaus, that he went back to what Moses wrote here in Genesis. It says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained all the things that were said about himself in the scripture. And here in Genesis, we read one of the first clues, the first promises about Jesus. He's referred to here as the coming seed. Look in chapter 12, down in verse 7. It says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to your... Now, if you read in an NIV, it says to your offspring. But there should be a little footnote there on that verse, too. There on offspring in mine, there's a little letter A. And when I look down at the bottom, it says seed. To your seed, I will give this land. Now, in Hebrew, the word is seed. We're going to talk about seed today. Most of us don't have nearly as much to do with seed today as previous generations did. Now, I grew up on a cotton farm in West Texas, and I know a lot about cotton seed. I know what it looks like when it's still got all the fuzz on it, but when the cotton gin takes all the lint off, those seeds are little red seeds, and I have loaded many a planter with cotton seed and driven the tractor and put that seed in the ground and then hoed the weeds to keep it weed-free. And so I know a lot about cotton seed, but many of you know about seed that you planted in your gardens. There was a time when nearly every household in the country looked forward to getting their spring catalog, their seed catalog, and they would order the seed. Today, most of us go down in front of Dillon's grocery store, in front of Lowe's, or somewhere where they have those plastic hothouses set up, and we buy our plants all ready-made to go. But it used to be differently. We would see these seed catalogs come in the mail, and we would look at the different kinds of vegetables and decide what we wanted to put out in the garden that year, and would choose from among the variety of seeds. You know, seeds come in every shape and size and color. It's amazing what seeds look like and all the variety. But there's something amazing about every seed. If you didn't know in advance what seeds do, you would be absolutely amazed if for the first time you were shown a seed and someone buried it in the ground, and then suddenly you saw something alive come up out of the ground. It's an amazing thing. We forget the miracle that's contained in the kernel of every seed. Who would imagine if you just showed a child a little piece of corn like that? Who could predict that if you put that in the ground, it would yield what we all have come to know and expect it will yield? You know, Jesus talked a lot about seeds. Not only is he the predicted seed here in Genesis, he talked about seeds. He compared the kingdom of God to a seed. He said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? They're just tiny, tiny little things. And yet, he said, the kingdom of God's like a mustard seed that when planted, it grows into a huge plant that even the birds of the air can put their nests in. Now, if you've ever been around mustard, it comes in a lot of varieties. But in the Middle East, there is a variety of mustard seed, the kind that Jesus was talking about, that when planted, turns into what we would call a huge bush. Here's a picture of a mustard tree. in the Middle East. All that from one little tiny seed. Now, going back to our text here, we want to look at seed from Genesis and what Moses had to say about it as he told the story of Abraham. God chose Abraham, and God told Abraham that he would be blessed, and that through his seed, all the nations of the earth would one day find this blessing. You know, this is not the first mention of that little word seed in our New Testament or in our Old Testament. Back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and I just can't help but believe that Jesus also on the road to Emmaus would have referred these men back and say, don't you remember that passage back in Genesis? The very early part of Genesis where it says, I will put enmity. He's talking to Satan, God is. And God said to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That seed, that promised seed, was talking about Jesus. The battle that would go on between them that would ultimately be fought out at the cross where Satan thought he had defeated the Son of God in death. But God brought him back alive again. And Satan was the one who was destroyed and beaten. So that seed's talked about in these early chapters of Genesis. You know, seeds are surprising things because of the potential that's contained within them. The very fact that God described this coming one, this coming Messiah, in terms of a seed carries the idea that it's going to be something that's going to be maybe different than what you expect. It's going to be bigger and better and surprising in some way. No one ever plants a seed without having faith in that seed. You get a little seed packet, and before you plant those seeds, you'll go out and you'll turn the soil, you'll cultivate it, you'll perhaps fertilize the land, and only then do you put that seed in there. You've done all this work because you believe that when that seed goes to the ground, something wonderful is going to come out. God spoke about that promised seed, and God prepared hearts, not just for one season or two. God prepared hearts for thousands of years for the coming of this promised seed. God would not tell everyone what exactly was going to happen, but we see clues all the way through. Here in the very beginning of the Bible, we're just told it's going to be a seed. But God, what kind of seed? What are you talking about? What's it going to look like? What's the surprise going to be? But God remained silent. Later on in the Psalms, he'd talk about the one whose hands and feet would be pierced. And people probably thought, what's that talking about? They didn't understand. Later on, he talked about, in Isaiah, the one who would suffer and would bear our sins. And again, what are you talking about, God? Can't you be more plain than that? And yet it was a mystery, and it went on through time. And finally, much later, we read about that coming seed in the fullness of time. Paul spells it out most clearly of all. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 3, in verse 16, he says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Here's that little word. The scripture does not say, and to his seeds, plural, but to your seed, singular. Meaning one person, and then Paul identifies him, that one person is Christ. That's Galatians 3:16. You know, the Jews thought that Abraham had received this special blessing, and God had said, through your seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed, and your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky and like the sands on the shore. And they thought that one day they would become such a great nation that they would be able to rule and reign on the earth. And that's what God was talking about, through your seeds, plural. That through all these descendants, this great thing would happen. And they believed that through the power of a great nation, God would fulfill this promise. Or perhaps some of them thought that through the ingenuity of their race, that somehow God would bless them and give them a position of power. And it's true that there is a large number of descendants of Abraham who have been great scientists. Albert Einstein was one, or great inventors, or people who have great minds. But that's not what God's talking about. Paul says in Galatians, he doesn't say seeds, plural. He says seed, singular. And that seed is Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing. God always wants us to understand clearly that what it is that he accomplishes in this world is not through our strength, not through the strength of any one nation or any one group of people, not through the intelligence of man, but through the power of God. And that was seen in the one man, Jesus Christ, and what God did with him. Now, in the fullness of time, all of God's planning and preparation came to fruition, and it all came to fruition in the birth of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. That was the seed. And Jesus and his coming was to reveal another truth about seeds. Everyone knows this. If you want to have a plant grow up, then you've got to bury the seed, don't you? That seed goes into the ground, and if you dig it up after one day, it looks like it's beginning to decay. After two or three days, it looks like it's rotting. But then something amazing happens. That little kernel breaks open. And instead of it being full of death, it's full of life. And something green and alive and vibrant begins to work its way up and pushes its head through the soil into the sunlight. And then that plant begins to grow rapidly. Jesus, in John chapter 12 and verse 24, spoke about his impending death. Now see, nobody expected that. Even his closest followers didn't expect that this seed that God had spoken about would be a seed that would have to die. Jesus said over and over again, I'm going to die. Peter took him to task, and Peter said, never, Lord, you're not going to die. And Jesus had to look at Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. Because Jesus knew he had to die. Jesus spoke in John 12, 24, and he said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus knew that in order for there to be all those who would be his followers, the many seed that would come, the one seed would first have to die. You know, everyone seemed to have forgotten that this seed, in coming and dying, there would have to be a battle, there would have to be a price tag. The greatest gifts are always those that are costly. Isn't that true? What gifts do you have in your home that are most prized? I know we have a lot. We have a big crocheted blanket, quilt, that my oldest daughter made for Vicki and I. And we really value that because that took her hours and hours and hours of her time. Some of you have gifts that cost a lot of money, and you know how hard that person who loved you had to work and how much money they had to save before they finally turned that money loose and acquired that gift so that you would be honored and you would feel loved and cherished. We all know the price that has been paid for the freedom that we enjoy in this nation. A high, high, costly price. We understand the value of gifts. Tim Miller, who's a Christian writer, described giving gifts that are costly and going through pain in order to see the good come. God gave the most valuable gift of all in his seed. And that was going to be a costly gift because that seed had to die. Tim Miller wrote this about his 9-year-old daughter, and he took her to the doctor's office, and the doctor had to do a spinal tap. And boy, if anybody here has ever had a spinal tap, you know how horrible that must have been for that little 9-year-old girl. And this is what he wrote. The doctors gently asked Jennifer to remove all her clothing. She looked at me with childlike modesty as if to ask if that were all right. They then had her curl into a tiny ball, and I buried my face in hers and hugged her. When the needle went in, Jennifer cried, and as the searing pain increased, she sobbingly repeated my name, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Her voice becoming more earnest with each word. It was as if she were saying, Oh, Daddy, this hurts so bad. Please, can't you do something? My tears mingled with hers, and my heart was broken. I felt nauseous. Because I loved her, I was allowing her to go through the most agonizing experience of her life, and I could hardly stand it. And then Tim Miller says, it was at that moment that somehow his thoughts just went back to the cross, and he remembered another father and another son there who went through unspeakable pain out of love for us. No, seeds do die. Seeds don't do any good unless they die. And they break open in the warm, moist darkness of the earth. But then there's one final truth about the seed that we need to talk about. And that is that seeds eventually sprout. They do. They come to life. You put a seed in the ground, it'll come to life again. And that seemingly dead seed pushes his head up through the soil. And I don't think it was a coincidence that Jesus died and was buried and was raised in the springtime of the year. I think it's a constant reminder, and God gave that to us as a gift so that here in just a few weeks when we begin to see those daffodils, we're already seeing them, aren't we? Daffodils pushing up, and the crocus and the forsythia and the redbud trees in bloom in the spring of the year, that we'll be reminded that there was a seed that was prophesied way back there in Genesis that also was planted, died, that broke forth again from those boundaries of death. Like a determined plant that breaks through the cracks in a cement sidewalk, Jesus broke out of that stone tomb in which he was encased. And the miracle of life over death took place. But Jesus knew something even more about that. In John 12, talking about seed, Jesus said, if it dies, it produces many seeds. Did you know that you can plant a whole field of corn with one ear of corn? The miracle of the resurrection to a life of glory is propagated in every one of us as followers of Jesus Christ. We become His seed. And we have that reproductive power in us. And all that we share this good news with, this story of Jesus Christ who came and died and was buried and rose, then they can become followers, and it grows exponentially. Paul put it like this in Romans 5:17. He was talking about Adam and how through Adam death came to everyone, but how through one man Jesus life comes to everyone. He said, for if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You know, the blessing is this, that man's greatest enemy has been overcome. And I'm so grateful that when I stand at the open grave, as I do several times a year with people who have lost their loved ones, when I stand at an open grave, I know that's not the end of the story. Just like I plant my seed in the garden and by faith know that there are plants that will rise as that body is placed back in the earth. I know, because Jesus has already demonstrated, He's the firstborn from the dead. I know that one day the trumpet will sound and the shout will be heard and that grave will open again and that body will come out and it'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And that person, if they're a follower of Jesus Christ, will go home to live with Him forever. I'm so grateful that one day when I breathe my last breath, I can close my eyes in absolute confidence, knowing that the very same resurrection power that brought Jesus out of the grave will bring me out of the grave. Winston Churchill planned his own funeral down to the very last detail. His funeral was held in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And after all was done, according to the way he had planned it out, He had asked that there be a trumpeter stand up in the rotunda of St. Paul's Cathedral. And that trumpeter, at the end of the service, began to play those mournful tones that we've all heard when we've been to the veterans cemetery and funerals. He began to play taps. And everyone sat in hushed silence as the funeral concluded. And as the last echo of those tones left that cathedral, people were preparing to leave, but Winston Churchill had pinned in one last thing. It wouldn't end with taps. There was another trumpeter standing on the other side of the rotunda, and no one knew he was there, but just as they were about to leave, he began to play. And it wasn't taps this time. It was reveille. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up in the morning. Because Winston Churchill wanted everyone to know that taps is not the last word. There is a resurrection coming. There will be a time when you get up in the morning on that grand resurrection day. I'm so grateful that we have a risen Savior. That today, as we shared in the Lord's Supper, we were sharing it not in memory of someone who died, but in expectation of being with the one who lives again. And so this morning, we're going to sing a song. And if you are not a Christian, oh, we hope today that you'll have the courage of your conviction. We'll assist you as you're baptized into Christ so that you can have the hope that only a Christian can have. If you need to come, we invite you as we stand and sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow Him. Please be seated.
I am totally out of practice. I forgot I was supposed to do announcements this morning. And would somebody bring my announcements to me? I actually forgot them.
Thank you, Bob Ortendahl.
I am just a seedling. Those who are visiting with us, we are so glad you're here. And we mean that from the bottom of our hearts. And we are thankful that you've been able to come our way. And if you are visiting with us, you are an honored guest. And we certainly hope and pray that you will come back and be with us again as soon as possible. We will be meeting again tonight at 5 o'clock for our evening worship time, and we'd invite you back for that. Especially if you're from our neighborhood, we're glad that you're here, and we encourage you to come back again. We just have just a couple of quick announcements before we close this morning that we'd like to share with you before we dismiss. LTC today at 3 o'clock for puppets will meet in the basement room number B1. For building safety, please use the downstairs north entrance if you are going to be part of this group. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ has invited the Sunset Older Singles to get together on February the 18th. Lunch at noon and a fellowship to follow, and there will be a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board if you'd like to participate in that. In the February Golden Agers event, Minute to Win It, that may be worth watching actually, Minute to Win It with the teens is next Sunday after PM services in the fellowship hall. Everyone 55 and older are invited to come. Bring a dish or two for a potluck meal together, then join in the fun-filled game session. You are not going to want to miss this, so be there for that if you can. With regards to the name tags, if you are a person who has a pacemaker, we want you to be aware that the magnets on the back are not good for you to have. So they have a new badge for you in the back that does not have magnets on it. So if you would please see them in the back after worship this morning, those tags will be made available to you. Blood pressure can be checked today at 4:30, and that will be in room 4A. That's the room that's next to the elevator down the hall. Also, due to the incoming weather, the ladies' sewing group has been canceled for Monday. That is always an indicator of whether we're going to get snow when the ladies dismiss. So we'll see how that works out. Also, LTC Large Chorus, you'll need to meet right up here in the front. That will be just for a few minutes with Carrie Samuel after our closing prayer this morning. So if you're part of the LTC Large Chorus, if you will come down here and meet just for a few minutes. Those who are requesting our prayers or that are in need of our prayers, the family of Henry Ford, Nancy Chamberlain's dad, has requested no visitors, but they certainly appreciate your prayers at this time. Fred Ellison and family on the loss of his mother, Pauline Ellison, who passed away this past Tuesday. We need to remember these people in our prayers this week. Hopefully you've had a good morning of worship this morning and you feel fed. We're going to now stand for a closing song, and then we'll have a closing prayer together. Thank you for being here, and I hope to see you again tonight. Let's stand together.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and frame the worlds with his great might.
There is a God,
he is alive. In him we live, and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Son upon a tree, a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set man free, and evermore with him could live.
There is a God,
he is alive, in him we live. And we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am.
Let me remind you again, would you say hi to your neighbor around you before you leave this morning? It only takes a minute. And that's a nice touch. Would you bow as we pray? Father, we thank you for this day, for the honor we've had to be present in the worship time. And we pray, Father, that our worship has been acceptable to you and it's been an honor to you. Father, we look to you as our God and Creator, and we know that it is through you that our very life and existence takes place. Now, Father, we ask your blessings on each of us.